We're in lesson 45 of the book of Matthew in a dispensational view, and we left off in verse 15 last week. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up in heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments and remains 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. You know, in verse 15, as we start down through there, the disciples wanted to send the multitudes away, didn't they? You know, because they was probably worried about how are we going to feed them, which they did. And the only one that could meet their needs was who? Jesus Christ. And they wanted to send him away from that. You know, what kind of proposal is that? Think about it. It's not a good one, is it? So back in chapter 13, when the disciples said they understood the parables, which they did, didn't they? Yet they wondered, you had to wonder, did they really? And that goes on to say, you know, some things in our daily lives, even in their daily lives, they always had, like, reserve. You know, don't believe. This is just a nature of our human body. You ever notice that? Do you not have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you not have faith in the fact that His Word says, this is the Lord and what you are? We can have faith in it all day long, but sometimes when our circumstances is like, you know, it's there. But it stuns me that they wanted to send them away. And you notice the last word of verse 15? What is that? Victuals? You know what that is? You ever heard Granny on Beverly Hills? What does she fix? That's victuals. That's food. Okay? And I'm just thinking, Okay, but verse 16 through 21, as we read down through there, but the Lord tells the disciples, you go get the people something to eat. That's what he's saying. They responded saying, we can't. We have only a little. So they wanted to just take care of themselves, didn't they? They didn't think of the big picture. And that's what them parables was over there, said, hey, this is what you're going to do. And if they kept their eyes upon what the Lord said he was going to do, they're going to have plenty. And as he showed them, Jesus' response was, bring them to me. I will take care of them. And, you know, the spiritual principle, if you think of any age, when people are lost, when people are hungry, when whatever, don't send them away. You know, think about, you know, spiritually, because I guarantee you, when I walk in this church building, I'm brokenhearted, I'm miserable in the earthly sense. And when I get around the saints and the Word of God, it feeds me, it builds me up. And I'm thankful for that. And he said, they don't have them to do themselves. Instead, send them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we need to point them to the Lord, don't we? You know, that's why we have the Word of God. We say, here's what God says. You know, we don't send them anywhere else because I'm telling you, if they feel they can have comfort somewhere else, it may not be in the Lord. But yet they think they have comfort. He is the one that gives us eternal life, is he not? Isn't that what we really need? You know, we talked about the deaths that's around us and people dying. If they know who they are in Christ, what a joy. What a joy to know that Lord Jesus Christ gives you eternal life. But you choose that. You either choose life or choose death. So you need to choose wisely, don't you? And the Lord had the people sit down and he fills the disciples' baskets up and they go and feed the people. When the baskets are empty, the disciples go back and forth until the Lord supplies them. 5,000 men was there, not counting them women. It's quite a bit of people. Another great principle is how we or they must focus on who? And that Jesus Christ. And when you lose focus on Jesus Christ, and we're going to see some things, what they did, they lost focus and some bad things happened. There was 12 baskets of food remaining when they all was fed and full. In other words, they had more provisions at the end of their ministries than they had when they started. That's a blessing, guys. I think of our little ministry here. We started out with 5 of us. We have more today than we first started. We have more than Noah did. Amen? You know, it's... Well, numerically 5 and 2 makes 7. 12 is the nation of Israel. And you'll see some things about 7 is always 4 and 3 or 3 and 4. So it is 7 is perfection. Yeah. Another spiritual principle in any age is not you sitting down and taking it all for yourself. I think of us as a whole. Sometimes we're sitting here and we're getting full and we're overfilled and our cup's runneth over. Are we taking it to anybody else? Some of us are. I don't want to say any's not, but you do it your own. You give it out. When people ask you, you're there to give, aren't you?
Yeah.
And don't worry about being depleted, because Jesus Christ will let you fill you up, and He fills you up. How does He fill you up? With the Word. You get the Word of God. We've sung a song today, trust and obey. You trust in Him. You obey the Word of God. And look at Psalms 132. What we're going to look at today is very, very important in the sense of who Matthew portrays Jesus as and what this is all about in the coming age. Now, we know the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ is not to you, correct? The earthly ministry of Jesus Christ is for you. You can learn what He did and learn a lot of things. Psalms 132. Psalms 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vow unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. And I will not give sleep to my eyes and slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place of for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we have heard of it in Ephrah. We found it in the fields of the woods. We go into the tabernacles. We will worship at His footstools. Arise, O Lord, until the rest thou and the ark of the strength. Let the priests be clothed with righteousness, and let the saints about for joy. For thy servant David shall not turn the face of thy anointment. The Lord has swore in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimonies, I shall teach them. Their children shall also sit upon my throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it as an habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell and have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with what? Bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Now, what is this bread for? Was that verse 14? Verse 15. Bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. This is what He's doing with the poor. He's satisfying them that way. That also is a second coming. What He's going to do. And that's what you got to be focused on in the book of Matthew, is the fact that what He's preparing them to do is going to be taking place over here in this time period here. Not so much what they're doing there, because who's with them? Christ. And if you know already that Jesus Christ, who is God, were in their midst, healing, feeding, delivering, and He was still rejected. Verse 22 in Matthew. Verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Who does he put in the ship? The disciples. Jesus Christ didn't get in the ship. Okay? Jesus and his disciples go and Jesus sent his disciples away to go to the other side as he sends the multitudes away. Christ had just fed 5,000 and he sends the multitudes away. The disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee. The comparative passages, if you want to look at this, is in Mark 6 and John 6. In John 6, between the feeding of the 5,000 and sending them away, they tried to take him by force, the Lord Jesus Christ, and make him king. Because they had all the faith of him, who he was as God, right? No. They not because they believed on him as their Messiah, it was because they fed him. Now think about it today. Think about these people that's out there taking care of somebody because they're in need, but they won't put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they'll make you king. They'll make you priest. They'll make you a head of a congregation. They'll make you president of the United States if they wanted to. Just because you're feeding them. You know that. Wouldn't it like somebody give you a free meal every day? Wouldn't we like that? Well, I would. I wouldn't have to work. But the Bible says what? If you don't work, you don't eat. And if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. He sends them away because they were just there to get fed. That's true. Sad but true. Many people come and listen to the Word of God, rightly divide it, and they want to be fed, but they don't want to believe it. So they just keep walking, don't they? They just keep walking. John 6 is a great exposition of the bread of life, which he gives because of their failure to understand the reason for the miracles he did. Because of their rejection of him and their failure to see who he was, they desire what? Just the material blessings, not for righteousness. Many people come to get what they can, material-wise, but they don't want the righteousness. You know what Matthew 6, 3 says? We looked at that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. That's what they were supposed to do, the nation Israel. In Matthew 23 down through verse 30, and when he sent the multitudes away, he went up onto a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the waves boisterous, he was afraid. And the beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Jesus, in verse 23, went up to the mountain. This alone is a type of an ascension. He's going back into heaven. Okay? He's departing him. And the disciples was out on the ship in the middle. What does it say? In the midst? That's in the middle. And I don't know how far that Sea of Galilee is. It's not that far across. 8 miles, 15 miles long, 8 miles across. And they're in the midst of it. In the middle of it. And when the storm blows, this is a picture of that little flock in the midst of this tribulation period over here. You got to see this. It's a picture of them, that little flock going right over here. There are going to be terrible storms and tribulations over there. Christ came walking on the water on a stormy sea. That troubled sea is a type and picture of the tribulation period, which is a picture of the time of Jacob's trouble. You with me? I hope so, because you're going to have to see this. Because if you can get this, you can understand some things that's been troubling a lot of people out there about who they are and where they're going to be and all that. In Daniel chapter 7, turn there. Hold your finger in Matthew. Turn to, I'm going to read it to you whether you turn there or not. Daniel chapter 7. I'll go. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, David had a dream and the visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream, the sum of the matters. Verse 2. David spake and said, chapter 7, verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strode upon the great sea. What time did Daniel see that? Okay. And back in Matthew chapter 14, Daniel had a nighttime vision. And Matthew 14, it was a nighttime experience. Now, if you know Daniel, and we will teach Daniel eventually here, but when you know Daniel, it's talking about this time period over here. Especially Daniel chapter 7. Matthew 14, where are they? They're in the sea, in the midst. And behold, the four winds of heaven strove on the great sea. The winds was whipping up the storm at sea. And the picture of the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation period, when the Antichrist was persecuting the nation Israel. Is that going to be a happy, glorious time for the nation Israel? No, it's trouble. He will torment and seek to wear out the saints of the Most High God. That's what Daniel 7 is all about. And then that's just a picture of Revelation 13:1 that goes along with Daniel 7, which goes along with this tribulation period. When John says he saw a beast rising out of the sea having seven heads, that's Revelation 13:1. This is all coming together for them, and Jesus Christ is letting them know, hey, this is what's going to happen. So where's so far he's up on a mountain. Where's his little flock? Okay, and it's nighttime. The apostles troubled out at the sea pictures the great time of tribulations, what we call the times of Jacob's trouble. It's nighttime event that I just shared. Christ came down from the mountain and appears to them walking on the water, treading on Israel's enemies. Does he not come back over here with fire and great vengeance and tramples off the enemy? Yes, he does when he comes back. He appears to them as who he is, the Son of God, Messiah, Jehovah himself, coming to rescue them. He's the only one can rescue them. United Nations cannot rescue Israel. United States cannot rescue Israel. If you know who Israel is today, you know it's not the Israel of the Bible. I'm sorry. I said it. Prosecute me. It's not. They're a lost bunch of people, same as lost bunch of people over here if they don't trust Christ Jesus, died for their sins and buried and rose again. I know it's hard for some to swallow, but it is. But if you want to continue to bless them, bless them. But what are you getting out of it? Eternal life? Hello, thank you. All these things are type of what is going to happen in the tribulations involving the second coming of Jesus Christ. Man, he gave the parables to show them what he's going to do in their absence. He's telling them he's back in 14. He's back to being rejected king. And what you see is feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus coming in the fourth watch of the night. That's when he comes back. And to rescue his apostles from that storm-tossed sea in a picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. When that little flock gets into that real storm over here, a real storm, the time of Jacob's trouble, they will have some information that they learn to draw upon. He's feeding them. He's telling them exactly what to do in his absence. He gave us some instructions through Apostle Paul to know what to do in our troubles. Many of us ignore it, don't we? Many of us believe it. And I tell you what, it has helped me in my young life, Christian life, when I study the Word of God and apply it to my life the right way, I know how to handle death. Is it sad? Yes. Is it sad to have tribulations that your boss man's not going to give you a run, if you will? Or you don't know if you got a job. And you know all this stuff going on, tribulations. But who do you put focuses on? Jesus Christ. You can make intelligent decisions in anything if you know who you are in Christ. Amen? The things here that he's still illustrating here will really come about. And the truths that they have been taught at the time. And that in a great tribulation, he feeds them in the wilderness. In Revelation chapter 12. Sir? The believing remnant. The little flock, the believing remnant, he feeds them. Jesus went on to his disciples. And when they saw him, he was walking on the water, correct? You know there's only one person can walk on water? I'm sorry, it wasn't Urban Meyer last night. Okay? I'm sorry. I know it disappoints a lot of us, but it's not. You know what Job chapter 9, verses 1 and through 8? You can write that down beside that verse. You should write it down beside verse 25. For the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. You should write Job chapter 9, verse 8. Only God can walk on the waves. And when that, after feeding all the miracles, after walking, healing people, the disciples should have known that Jesus was God by his miracles. But no, and we'll see this laid down through there, they cried out with fear, didn't they? That's what Mark 6:52 says. They didn't expect to be delivered. Again, this is the type of the second coming of Christ to execute judgment and deliver that little flock. Go with me to Psalms 93. Psalms 93. Psalms 93. Psalms 93 is a second coming of Christ going into that millennium kingdom over there. Psalms 93 says, "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also established, and it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, and thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, and the floods lifted up their waves. The storm is raging." You with me? What's going on over in that little boat? Rocking, the waves are storming. The Lord is on high, is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, then the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. He's telling them, Psalms telling them in that tribulation period, they're going to be on some heavy waters. They're going to be tossed to and fro. Isn't that what's going on in that little boat in Galilee? Yeah. When Christ comes back, the waves are raging against Israel, against the believers over here. It's waging. It's raging. It's just torment, floods. The storm will be tossing and billows raging. And he is mightier than they, and he will just calm everything down. That's awesome. When storms are raging inside of me, you know, and I take my focus on who I am in Christ Jesus, and they're raging, and all, guess what? It can overcome me. But when I settle down and start realizing, boom, who I am, it makes a difference. My kids know that. When they push my buttons, they know exactly how much raging ways are going to come from Dad. Then I have to calm my emotions down. When he walks across the water, it is a picture of what Israel is going to experience in the tribulation period. How Christ will come and calm things down and deliver and rescue them. Once again, it's a type of the second coming of Jesus Christ in Matthew 14. Are y'all with me on this? Because we've been studying a lot of things up to chapter 14. And I guarantee you're not going to get this anywhere else by radio or books or videos or internet. You better study it out for yourself, because it's as clear as the words on the page. Back in Matthew 14, in Revelation 12, 6, the woman Israel flees into the wilderness, does she not? Time-wise, the passage is in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. Chapter 9. Right in the middle of the tribulation, picture of these men in the Sea of Galilee. So I want you to picture that little boat, that little flock, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And you picture that little boat, that little flock, in the sea of right here, tribulation period. Same picture. Same picture. Revelation 12, 6 says, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath have a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Huh? That's Revelation 6. 1,260, that's what it adds up to. The week is 7 years. 3.5 years of that, that's where that little flock will flee to the wilderness and be fed. The 1,260 days, half of the 70th week, 3.5 years, bring up in mind of the 70th week of Daniel. 7 years split in half, and half, and half, and half, and you know, that, all that. It's mathematical. It adds up. Only the Bible could do that. You and I couldn't do that. As you just heard me mention, I cannot do that. I'd have to take my shoes off and then some. The women of Israel flees into the wilderness where God feeds them, just like Christ took those people in the wilderness and fed them. In fact, the tribulation period, he is going to feed the Israel in the wilderness. Go to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. It's right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says that the tribulation of God is going to allure the nation Israel and bring them out of the wilderness and deal with them just like he did when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And you need to see this, because this is very, very important to understand. Well, let's read it. Verse 14, 15. Therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from hence and the valley of Achor and a door of hope. And she shall sing there in the days of her youth, as in the days of her youth, as in the days that when she came up out of the land of Egypt. That's a very, very important passage to understand, that when you study Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, because it gives you the doctrine that they're reading, that they're understanding. And Israel is going to return from the wilderness when she receives her blessings. Remember what I've always shared with you, what the wilderness did when he fed them and clothed them? That's a dress rehearsal of what's going to happen over here. Man, they got the words. They'll look back to what Moses did and what God provided for them and say, I believe it. God's going to do it. And they will understand it. When you read Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, he says that he is their way. He is going to deal with Israel in the tribulation period. He was just like what he did then. It's clear to me. If you want to know what life is going to be for Israel in the tribulation period, you go to those verses. You go to the Old Testament and find out what they did. Is it going to be horrible? Yeah. You know, you got to hide. You got to, you know, worry about who's going to take your head off. But they know who, that little flock knows who they rest in. He's coming to calm that storm. So in Matthew 14, feeding them in the wilderness is a type of what he will do in the tribulation period. Jesus fed the multitudes. He provided for them. He went walking on the water, and when they was tossed to and fro in the storm, he comes to deliver them. Go to Matthew 14, verse 25. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. It is important to understand watches of the night. You got to get this picture, especially to relate to the second coming of Jesus Christ. At the time, a night was divided into four periods at this time. And you find that in Mark chapter 13, verse 35. I'll read it to you. Watch ye therefore, Mark 13, 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know when the master of the house cometh, at evening, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. See that? There are four watches. Evening, you know what time that would be? Six to 9 p.m. Then you got midnight, 9 to 12. Then you got the cock crowing, 12 to 3. Then you got the morning from 3 to 6. Now, I know many of you got roosters. And if I'm sure if one started crowing at 3 o'clock in the morning, you would really be upset. He'd be probably on your dinner table, wouldn't he? But before this, Roman days, Israel had three watches. How that divided up, I'm not sure. But they had three. But this is four. And you see four watches. The next, and the cock crowing in the morning. There are four watches through the night. In Matthew 14, the coming of Jesus Christ walking on the sea, what night, what watch is it? It tells you in verse 25. What time would that be?
3 to 6.
Okay, it'd be morning time, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay. Now, there's three watches that took place since then. They got in that boat in the evening. It took them 6 to 9, 3, 9 to 12 is 6, 12 to 3 is 9, 9 hours to go halfway across 8-mile stretch. They're going through some tribulation periods. They're going through some rough seas. Now, I know you and I probably do it in an hour, go 4 miles rowing. You know, we're skidding across there. But think about that. They're in, and he comes on the fourth watch. This is interesting because you know Bible prophecy and Jesus Christ is coming, is discerned as the sun coming up in the morning. You got all the verses. He comes. He's out of here. And he comes back here. That's nighttime. You with me? And when he comes back over here, it's like a sun coming out of his chambers. And he comes as righteousness. Verse 26, 27. When they look at him, and Jesus said, do not fear him. By the way, before I go any further, you need to know those watches. Because that's going to help you understand what they're going through right here. Paul talks about, ye are children of not of the night. And you're a light. So even, is the Lord present today? Physically? So he's still gone, isn't he? And as long as he is gone, there's nighttime. So he's gone all the way through right here. This is all nighttime. But Paul explains something to us that you're children of the day in Thessalonians, not of night. You're the light of this world. So it's dark out there, but who's the light? You are. Just keep that in mind, because you can help somebody in this dark world. And when Peter saw him, Jesus said, do not fear it. I am Jehovah. Look at me. I'm walking on the water. Knowing what I know now, wouldn't that be, see that be awesome? I mean, just once again, they should have known who Christ Jesus was. Peter says, what does Peter say right here? Peter answered, verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou. That's a little lack of faith there, isn't it? Peter seemed to have an issue, didn't he? If it be thou. Who else could walk on water, Peter? You know, that gets me. See, that tells me I would be like Peter. You know, in my flesh. Like, he just fed me. He told me. I told him I understand these parables. And Lord, as long as you're with me, there's light. You leave me and I'll fall to pieces. Many of us got comforts at home. I love to be home, don't you? Don't you? I mean, after a hard day, work, 8 days a week type of thing, and you're gone, and you just go home, and you just put your jammers on, if you will, or just, you know, just getting your comfortable clothes, and you rest, don't you? Peace. I love that. But that's a comfort I have in my home, and that's the way it should be, right? You know, but in Christ Jesus, can't you have that same comfort? Then your spouse comes in and wants you to do the honey-do list or, you know, do this and this. Like, wait a minute. I've been, you know. But anyway, Peter looks at that. Jesus bids Peter to come. Peter begins to walk on the water by Jesus' strength, doesn't he? He knows who he is. He's walking on that water. Storms are going over. And what does it say? Verse 30. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. What did we read about the winds over there in Psalms? Boisterous winds, waging winds. The earth was doing this and the earth was doing that. And God's in the middle of it, calm. And what did Peter do? Started worrying about this waging wind around us. I do that. I worry about, you know what I mean? I just worry about things crashing down around me and I want to do it and I want to help. And he takes his eyes off of it and begins to walk. He takes his eye off the Lord and he starts to watch his circumstances surrounding him and he begins to sink. And he cries out to the Lord, what? Save me. And verse 31 through 36. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and it said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Mind you, is Peter a fisherman? Would he have doubt even getting out of water? A boat, you get out of a boat on dry land, or a dock. He gets out, you know, a lot of people gives him, points fingers at him. He took his eyes off Jesus. He sunk. He's the only one got out of the boat. He's the only one said, he's God. Verse 32, and when they had come unto the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of the truth, thou art the Son of God. And that still, I still shake my head. Because it seemed like they said that before over and over and over and over. And when they were gone over and they came to the land of, was it Gennesaret? And when the man of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the countries round about and they brought unto him all that were diseased. And brought him, and besought him that they may only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Immediately Jesus saves him and the winds cease. talking about Peter. And the other disciples came and worshiped him, saying, Thou art the Son of God. Go with me right quick to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Psalms 107, verse 28. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. And that man would praise the Lord of his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hey, that just fulfilled that. Because did he not calm? Did he not bring them safely to their haven when they was in their distress? When they came back to the shore, the men understood whom he was, and they besought him by faith and were healed. This is a picture of the millennium rest in the second coming over here. You know, unbelievable. Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the time you've given us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.